Order. Order.
Are there any select committee reports?
On Wednesday, the Law and Order Committee heard a graphic description of what goes on during a prison strip search.
We can make the offender bend right down so that their buttocks are next to their ankles, so a 90 degrees is sort of a half squat. If it's reasonable grounds, we believe they're concealing something, we can make them go further down. The idea of that is it relaxes a few more muscles and something might fall out. We're allowed to use a light or magnifying device to illuminate the area during this procedure. We may require the prisoner to roll back their foreskin if there's suspicion of something concealed under it. This isn't a pleasant process.
Senior Corrections Officer Bevan Hanlon speaking there during a submission on a bill that will give guards more scope to strip search prisoners. Mr. Bevan gave examples of what these searches find.
I've been involved in a situation where a prisoner had a roll of cannabis that was almost a foot long sticking out of his backside. So a number of things. The prisoner who tried to stab the officer in the back of the van had a 6-inch piece of metal which he'd concealed up his backside, pulled out and tried to stab an officer with. So you'd be surprised.
Mr. Hanlon said the bill went too far and he preferred new technology being trialled that could replace strip searching.
Again, something we're not interested in doing when you've got technology that can fix this problem. So we just don't see this as a requirement to change.
Senior Corrections Officer Bevan Hanlon making a submission on the Corrections Amendment Bill that is due to be reported back from the Law and Order Committee by August 8. And another bill up for submissions on Wednesday would see prescriptions handed out by health professionals other than doctors. That's the Medicines Amendment Bill being considered by the Health Committee and was welcomed by the Pharmaceutical Society of New Zealand, although its representative, Robert Buckham, had one concern.
With nurse practitioners and optometrists being included as authorised prescribers, the dispensing pharmacist doesn't necessarily know whether a prescription's written within a person's scope. That's a potential risk for pharmacy in that they have to take that prescription on good faith.
Mr. Buckham suggested how to fix the problem.
We would like to see a mechanism where pharmacists had the person with the ultimate responsibility being able to be contacted and being able to fix any of those clarifications. Perhaps that's something that could be taken care of.
Pharmaceutical Society of New Zealand representative Robert Buckham making a submission on the Medicines Amendment Bill, which is due to be reported back from the Health Committee by the end of August. And on Thursday, while most eyes were on this year's budget, the Justice and Electoral Committee began an inquiry into last year's election. Professor Jack Vowles from Exeter University was there to explain why voter turnout was the lowest ever.
One problem is mass perceptions that elections are not close and that the outcome is totally determined. I think that it's a problem under MMP that people continue to estimate the closeness of elections in terms of the poll difference between the two leading parties, whereas that is not necessarily a clear predictor of what's going to happen. And it may well be that a coalition of parties may be able to form a government even though the gap between the two major parties is not a close one at all.
Professor Vowles explained how that problem was worsened.
Precedent of reintroducing television debates between the two major party leaders alone without the participation of minor party leaders, I think, is one of the things that tends to keep people thinking in terms of this difference between the two major parties, and I think that this is something that I would recommend does not happen in future, because I think people will get a much better idea about the uncertainty of the election if the multi-party nature of it is more clearly put in front of them in a very high-profile television event.
And the similarity of policy between the two major parties had also alienated voters.
Parties actually developing more coherent and distinctive policies is one way of generating interest in politics. But of course there's also an incentive by political parties to converge on the median voter, and so it's difficult always to be able to do that.
Professor Jack Vowles. And the inquiry gave National Party Committee member Jackie Blue the chance to question Electoral Enrolment Centre manager Murray Wicks as to why extra votes had been cast in the West Auckland electorate of Waitakere.
There were 393 ineligible votes.
Yes.
They weren't on the roll in Waitakere and they weren't enrolled anywhere else, so how the hell did they get to vote?
Mr. Wicks assured the committee that that had been a mistake and did not indicate electoral fraud.
If you think about the level of fraud that would be required under our system, it would need to be a conspiracy of a considerable scale. And where you have conspiracies of considerable scale, they tend to be identified.
Electoral Enrolment Centre Manager Murray Wicks. And in a light-hearted moment, National's Katrina Shanks wondered how more young people could be encouraged to vote.
People vote because, well, they do something because it attracts them and it's sexy and it's edgy. Mm. And even though we've got a pin-up Prime Minister and everything else that's going on, you know, it still didn't reflect through. So how do we make politics more sexy?
Plastic surgery. What are you
doing? New Zealand First's Dennis O'Rourke with that advice for Katrina Shanks. That was during the Justice and Electoral Committee's inquiry into last year's general election. I'm Rhys Lyon, and this program was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.